From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
A lot of those repairs, like it took us 10 years, DIY, you know, sweat equity, raising money however we could to do it, but we've undeniably saved that building, which, I mean, we'd all be here talking about a pile of rubble.
I mean, that's one of the main premises of skateboarding. It builds determination because of the fact that it's not like a test at school. You can't like have somebody else do it for you. Like if you're going to kickflip, you have to do the kickflip.
I think kids in general in St. Louis and a lot of underserved places need spots like this, you know? Yeah. And so like building this art center, not just the skate park, but like the skate park is like the tip of the spear. Mm-hmm. And that like working with a lot of kids,
it brings the kids in.
Yeah, it's hard to get through to a lot of kids.
I'm Sarah Fenske. For 10 years, the coolest secret in St. Louis has been hiding in plain sight. It began its life in 1856 as St. Laborius Catholic Church, built by German Catholics in North St. Louis. But the parish closed in 1992, and after a stint as a homeless shelter, the deconsecrated church became something uniquely St. Louis, a place that combines the flying buttresses of a Gothic Revival cathedral with City Museum-style derring do. It's gone from St. Laborius to Skate Laborius. A skate park with features that include the largest indoor halfpipe in the Midwest. And it attracts skaters and daredevils from all over the world. Our producer, Laura Hamden, stopped by Thursday to talk to some of them.
My name is Avian Duke, and I started coming here around 2015. So I was 15 years old. And I just found out because I knew everybody who skated here, and I was still young. It was kind of like a lot of older people hung around here, and yeah, that's how I started out.
How do you see this place fitting in with the larger skate scene here in St. Louis?
I think it fits in with a lot of people besides skateboarders, just like anybody between like artists, people who like playing music in here because the acoustics are really good. But everybody who skates or does anything who likes to be here is welcome.
My name's Victoria. I live in St. Louis. My husband and I moved here from Boston about 5 years ago. My husband rides BMX and I roller skate. We started to get more involved when they started to build the vert ramp.
What was your first experience when you walked through the doors? I'm sure you didn't see something like this before.
Yeah, it's honestly been one of the reasons that we have stayed in St. Louis. We just bought a house out here, and there's nowhere else in the U.S. that I know of that's quite like this. We do a lot of traveling and going to different skate parks, but there's nothing like the skate church. It's like a destination for a lot of people. So I know so many different people around the U.S. that I've met because they'll hit me up on the internet and be like, I want to check out Skate Laborius. We're going to do a road trip. Could you help us get in there? So it draws people to St. Louis. For it to be your local park feels amazing, and it is amazing. Like it's really, I feel very lucky to live so close.
Mike Verhoff, Overland, Missouri.
My name is Ava, but my skate name is Pushy, and I live in Overland with him, and I found it through him.
What was your first thought once you walked through those doors?
No. Saw it. Crazy, you know?
What the f- That's like actually what I thought. I was like, are you serious? Because like the ceiling is so high, and like the paintings in it, everything is so detailed, and then there's a skate park. It's like a dreamland. I don't know. It's crazy.
What kind of people do you hang out with here?
Mainly just like everybody that was here, basically. Just my skate friends.
But elaborate on that a little bit. These aren't other 15-year-olds.
Most of the friends my age aren't really into this. I actually don't really know anybody my age that's into this. So it's mostly like 30-year-olds that I skate with, but it's still really fun because, you know, they welcome me in and I feel like I'm a part of their group even though I'm so young.
Did you expect that to happen as her dad?
Kinda, because I know when I got into skateboarding, like, it was dying, and the only guys that were left were a little older. But it is what it is, dude, and like everybody's, they're great people, you know, so it doesn't matter.
Well, what do you make of this place and their role in her journey?
I think it's crazy. I mean, like, they've given her a private skate park to utilize to grow your talent, and it's great to have people behind you that are willing to offer up their space for you to grow your talent, no questions asked. You
know? For free?
For free, yeah. It's something to behold.
My name is Jasmine. I'm from Chicago, but I've lived in St. Louis for about 4.5 years. And I think I heard about the church just through some friends skating.
What's a memory that you always cherish about this place?
Oh boy, probably dropping into the vert ramp. And that was only back in August. It was probably like one of the scariest things I've ever done. And like Dave was here and Brian was here and Joss was here and a bunch of our friends were here, and there was music playing and they were all standing here like cheering for me, and they were like, you got this, you could do this, you could do this. And I stood up there for probably like an hour. And then finally I did it, and I remember Dave was like, "Fuck fear, you don't need that." And then I was like, okay. And then when he said that, I dropped in, I fell, but I did it. And then I went right back up and I did it again. So it's definitely like gonna be the most memorable experience here. It like changed my life.
And that is Laura Hamden reporting from Skate Laborious in the St. Louis Place neighborhood. That gleeful moment at the end came when Jasmine finally landed a Miller flip. That's something she's worked on for months. And she nailed it on her last night in St. Louis before moving to New Orleans. Now, it's not just Jasmine's life changing. After a decade underground, Skate Laborious is going legit, with plans to further serve the kids who've long frequented it. And joining us now with more on that is Dave Bloom. He's the founder and co-owner of Skate Laborious. Dave, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
And we're also joined by co-owner and construction manager, Brian Bedwell. Brian, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having us.
So, Dave, you guys are going legit. What made you decide to do that after all these years kind of being underground, quasi-legal, probably more illegal than quasi-legal?
I mean, we kind of had to after all this time. I mean, building an art center in St. Louis has always kind of been our goal. I mean, me and Brian, goal since day one. And we, you know, skateboarding was sort of like an avenue to get there. And we built the skate park as like a way of, you know, working with kids. And also we all, you know, just love skateboarding. And I mean, Brian can speak more about like the power skateboarding has kind of in working with youth in our city. But I mean, it was just time to kind of bite the bullet and do it. I mean, you can only kind of be an underground venue for so long, you know. Eventually people were starting to get like, you know, over 10,000 followers on Instagram. Like, people knew about it. But we, you know, we kind of wanted to pull the trigger on actually really doing the work that we set out to do from day one.
Brian, what took you guys so long? I mean, really, when he says, you know, 10,000 people following you, this was something that a whole lot of people knew about.
Well, definitely. I think that a lot of that had to do with helping us push us towards, you know, obviously going legit. But at the same time, it's one of those things. We've been working on it for so long. There's a lot of things, I mean, especially with as far as construction is concerned, that's really, really expensive, especially if you're doing it with permits and everything else. And whenever you have people come through to look at things, and if you're capable, obviously Dave was used to work at the City Museum, helped build a bunch of stuff there. I have a construction background as well. And so we were able to take care of a lot of it on our own for a lot cheaper. You know, the labor, it's free labor, sweat equity type stuff and whatever. So knocking out a lot of the larger projects during that phase definitely helped to get us where we are, to get our feet on the ground, to realize that this is a possible thing that can really happen.
That so. You can actually get permits right. For all the things you're doing.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff that we were doing, like at first, we just had to take care of it immediately. You know, I think if we'd have got the building maybe like 5 years later than we got it, it'd have been like too far gone. Like,
it was just falling apart.
Yeah. I mean, like every time it rains, it gets a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And I mean, there was like, but I mean, a lot of those repairs, like it took us 10 years DIY, you know, sweat equity, raising money however we could to do it. But we've undeniably saved that building, which, I mean, we'd all be here talking about a pile of rubble.
Yeah.
Well, we get to that point where now it's to the point of where we can there is a handle on it. You know what I mean? And it is a possibility that can last for a long time. And, you know, we've got it under control enough to this point now to where this is the next step for us. So
I hate to ask the uncoolest question in the world, but every time I would hear about this skate church, I kept thinking, what about the liability? I mean, you have people doing like the most dangerous things, or at least they look dangerous.
Skate at your own risk, you know.
Yeah. And that's worked for you so far.
I mean, fingers crossed, I guess, but like...
I don't want to jinx you, but so far...
Well, and other things too, as well as insurance and things like that as well, you know. But yeah. The main idea of skateboarding, I feel like in general, is the skate at your own risk thing. I mean, if you're going to step on a skateboard, you're going to know that there's a chance you're going to get hurt. I mean, that's one of the main premises of skateboarding. It builds determination because of the fact that it's not like a test at school. You can't like have somebody else do it for you. Like if you're going to kickflip, you have to do the kickflip. You can't, you know, be like, I did a kickflip, but nobody saw it. Like, then it doesn't count. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you have to do it yourself.
So this is a part of the culture exactly. of skating is that people take responsibility. Right. If they get injured, that's on them, not on you.
Yeah, exactly. And then also like it, that like you're responsible for your own progression in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody can get better at it for you. Like people always skate in groups together, like people show up in groups, but like it's a, you know, community sport, but an individual pursuit. And that in within that individual pursuit, like a lot of other things in life don't really matter. Like it doesn't matter how old you are, your race or yeah. creed or gender, you know, social and economic background, you know, while you're skating, it's just you trying to do, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do. And I mean, that's a like very analogous for the type of mindset you have to have in doing anything in life.
Yeah.
So you guys have been building this up over the years, fixing the kind of things like giant leaks coming into this building. So this used to be a homeless shelter. It was being run by the Karen House, which is a Catholic worker house. Dave, how did you get involved that you ended up kind of taking possession of this building in the first place?
So there's a urban farm next door to the church at
New Roots.
Yeah, New Roots.
Urban farm. Shout out to Antoine.
Shout out to Antoine and Mary, shout out to New Roots. And I run a farm with my wife in DeSoto called Such and Such Farm. And at the time, it was like 10 years ago, I didn't know anything about farming. And so I just showed up there one day and was like, maybe we can work together and be sister farms. I've been a welder working for Bob Castley at the City Museum for a while. And there's a guy working on the church. And he was like, do you know anything about working on old buildings? I was like, actually, yeah, I know a lot about that. He's like, well, nobody wants to help me climb up in the tower and shovel out all the pigeon droppings. I was like, oh, that's cool. Where are all your shovels at? And so Karen House, they had the building, but they never really wanted it. Like there is a 3-building complex, and once it was deconsecrated by the Archdiocese, Karen House, you know, the Archdiocese rented it, but Karen House asked to have the convent. And so they had to take, but the Archdiocese was like, you can have it, you can have it for free, but you have to take all three buildings.
Ooh,
yeah, you know,
that's
a big ask. Lock, stock, and barrel. Yeah. And they were like, we don't want this big church. We're like, no, that's the deal.
Well, a small nonprofit like them too, it's hard for them to have the finances to, you know, take care of that building.
For sure.
I mean, and they did the best they could with it. I mean, they run an amazing women and children's shelter,
yeah,
but like managing that enormous church is like not at all in their wheelhouse. And like they rented it and it was like falling apart and they just didn't have the means to maintenance it. And like I was saying, a little bit worse. Those buildings need a lot of maintenance. And so we just approached them like, you should give us this church. You're almost at the point where like it's not like where you can't do repair. You have to tear huge stuff out and replace it. And that like adds a zero to the cost of working on the building. And they basically were like, please take it. And so we took it and kind of started organically from there.
So Dave kind of ambled up because he's interested in farming and somehow ends up taking over this whole project. Brian, what's your story here?
Well, I've known Dave for a while before that. One of my really good friends, one of our mutual friends, Rob Dixon, RIP, he was Dave's roommate for a long time. He helped out at the City Museum and stuff, and me and him used to hang out all the time. So that's how I met Dave. But before that, I was also doing, I started a nonprofit here in St. Louis called KHVT. We built the only, we're a skateboard advocacy group, basically. We built and fundraised and built the only public free skate park in the city limits. It's Peter Matthews Memorial Skate Garden over off of Morgan Ford in the Chippewa area. And because of that, it was a huge volunteer thing. We paid for it all ourselves. We had a lot of volunteer, you know, gusto behind us, I guess, at that point. A lot of people were, we had a Kings Highways Bridge that we were building, another DIY skate park too. They got a lot of people behind us, and Dave saw the amount of volunteers and the amount of work that they were willing to do for skateboarding stuff. And so it was like they needed help. And we were basically like, yeah, just let us put a couple little ramps in there. Maybe we can move them in and out of the way. You know, they had other plans at the beginning, you know, for different type of community type stuff in the church. And the more and more skaters showed up, the more and more we get to take over.
So, how cool.
So we kind of moved in that way. So sweat equity, you know.
The supergroup really formed up when your third co-owner, Joss Hay, arrived. Now, he's originally from Scotland. Yes.
Well, there's several other ones also.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
Joss
okay. There's
is
more
definitely,
than three. Okay.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
There's only three I was told about.
Uncle John Dudry. Yeah, okay. Give him a shout out. There's a couple other people that have been there with us from the beginning. We got other people that have helped us out. I mean, it takes a lot of volunteers, so it's not just us. But definitely Joss, a.k.a. Frenchie.
Yeah.
He's our guy, too.
So let's hear Josh. Josh explain to our producer how he found this. He had just moved to town from Scotland and was looking for new places to skateboard in St. Louis.
I started doing as most people would. I used hashtags on Instagram to see where skate spots could be. I found a couple and I noticed this pretty cool church, a few ramps in it, and I thought that's my kind of place. So I noticed who the main proprietor of the post were, and it happened to be Brian, one of the owners of it. He responded to me and said, oh yeah, you can come along and volunteer. That's how you can get in. So it actually took a couple of days, and then eventually I just sat outside and waited for him. And I can only imagine how that was to meet a kind of angry Scottish guy that you've never met before. He's like, I want to come and volunteer, but you've been giving me the runaround. So ever since then, no, kind of been inseparable.
And that is Joss Hay. So people are coming in from all different places lending their sweat to this project.
You never know who's going to be on the doorstep.
Yeah. people show up all the time. And it's starting, as it's been like growing really organically online, it's been like really interesting to see. Like, I mean, a lot of the comments, like we can't read them. They're in like other languages and stuff,
there's just so many people, like all diversity of people too. Like people that don't skate, stuff like that. We've had a ton of people. Jennifer Russell helped us out a ton. She never skateboarded or anything in her life. She just liked our entrepreneurial spirits, I guess, and decided to help us out, you know, with a bunch of clerical type stuff. We've had a bunch of help from all types of lawyers and marketing people, Rachel and Ryan, two of our marketing people have helped us out a ton. I mean, the list goes on and on, like I said, of tons of people. Caleb at the beginning was there. Tons of people were helping us out at the very beginning. Yeah. Y'all know who you are. We love you.
Yeah. And like the huge amount of volunteers too. Like when we have big volunteer skate days, like we're always blown away that like, you know, just how many people will show up and like pump shovels and clean up stuff and help us build things.
Well, for the city of St. Louis being such a tough place that people think, it's really awesome to see how many people will come out. I mean, we would be nothing without all of our volunteers.
Absolutely.
And so we're talking today about Skate Laborious. That's the skate church you may have heard of, if you're cool, in North St. Louis. I'm talking today to two of its co-owners. That's Brian Bedwell, who's also the construction manager, and Dave Bloom, who's also the founder. So, Dave, you're trying to go legit now.
Yeah.
And you told our producer, quote, there's no system in place for renovating a building like this.
This is something totally different. Yeah, not kind of in the way that we're doing it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I spent a long time working for Bob Cassily at the City Museum, so maybe that kind of influences my opinions on how to do big, large, weird projects. But like, you know, typically I think people that go into doing a large development like this, you know, they have like a 7-figure budget, and through that you can apply for all sorts of different like tax credits and things like that. But like, we don't have any of those types of things. That's not a possibility for us.
We're not money guys. We're builder guys.
Yeah. We just have like tools and grit and determination and a vision and a bunch of, you know, like people who want to help us do it. And so we're just doing it. And we have no, desire to kind of like stay underground forever. Like we want to offer what we're doing to the whole city because I think it's a really valuable thing. I think kids in general in St. Louis and a lot of underserved places need spots like this, you know? Yeah. And so like building this art center, not just the skate park, but like the skate park is like the tip of the spear. Mm-hmm. And that like working with a lot of kids,
brings the kids in.
Yeah, it's hard to get through to a lot of kids. When you talk to people who run other art centers, like they all kind of tell us the same thing. They were like, oh, what's the hardest thing? Like, oh, just getting kids to come through the door and making them feel engaged by our programming. When you talk to the kids, you're like, why don't you want to go to that place and be engaged by their program? You're like, oh, that place is lame, man. I want to go there. It sucks there. But like, we don't have that problem. Yeah. The kids beat the door down to come in. But when they come in, then you can make a real impact on their life. We want to do like welding and woodworking and photography.
Screen printing. All different types of art stuff. We have large facilities. I mean, the cathedral is just one space. There's also the basement. There's a wood shop down there. We have tons of available stuff to teach kids, you know. Like Dave always says, maybe they've never known how to do, you know, they've been to a wood shop before, so they wouldn't know if they like doing woodworking or not because they never had a chance to try it. So
yeah, you know, exactly. Like, you know, if you never find out that you're going to be an amazing photographer if no one ever puts a camera in your hand, especially if you grow up in a really underserved community, you know, you're just trying to survive in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's not like in a lot of these neighborhoods, there's no lack of like talent and, you know, aptitude. There's just a lack of opportunity to even be able to explore and figure out what you're passionate about. And skateboarding and, you know, street art and things like that are a really great avenue to be able to do that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're doing, and that's the goal. Like, skateboarding is one part of it. And I mean, it's a big and important part of it, but it is just one part. But right now, we just need to raise money. We need to raise, like, literally like a cool million.
We've
to be
done
able
it.
To
We've done as much as we can with our bootstraps. Now it's time for the other kind of help.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have raised some money by doing, you know, trying to host events and things like that. Well, what made you decide we got to go the GoFundMe route?
We raised money however we could. Like, like I said, every time it rained, it got a little bit worse. And some of these things, like, we needed to fix it or else it's not fixable. And so, like, throwing big underground parties is a way to make some money to fix the building. And if you don't fix it eventually, there's no building left to fix. And so, but I mean, throwing giant underground parties is not a long-term sustainable business model.
I'm glad you realized that.
The size of the parties are getting pretty out of control. And you want to talk about liability and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of liability involved to bring 800 people into the basement of a basically abandoned building. You know?
Yeah.
So for us, it's a lot better and safer for us to, you know, let's do it this way.
And this was
legit.
Yeah. And this was always our goal, was to build an art center in a public skate park. And like, we never kind of took our eye off that prize, but we did realize that, like, if we don't fix the water that pours in every time it rains or the bricks that are falling on the wall, like, that's sort of a moot point to start building out silk screening and woodworking shops in the basement. And like, we are lucky that we both have been in construction all our lives and we can do the work ourselves.
Can do this pretty cheap.
But
I mean, for how big a project it is, not cheap.
The thing is, though, for us also, you have to think about it, like, you know, it's not like I have to eat too, you know what I'm saying? So it's like nobody's paying us to work there as well. So it's one of those ideas of, you know, the little bit of time that you have available, you know, from your regular life. You know, I have two children. I have a newborn son and stuff and wife and everything. And he's got the same thing going on.
I got a daughter.
And then we both have separate other business ventures, you know, that are trying to put the food on the table for us. So it's like, so at this point, it's like I said, the idea, we've done pretty much what we can with our DIY spirit and our bootstrap together, whatever we can do. And now is whenever we need the time, you know, we need the help to get the big projects done to make everything super legit for
us. So you have a GoFundMe now. We have that on our website. That's stlonair.show. If people want to contribute to this effort, it's as easy as just contributing to the GoFundMe.
They can also check out our Instagram. It's at SkateLaborious. It's one word. Our Facebook, too.
We also, since 2016, have a non-for-profit that we've been running called the Laborious Urban Art Studios, the Lewis in St. Louis. And so if anyone wants to make like a tax-deductible donation, we've been doing that as well. So, and that nonprofit basically it is going to administer all of the youth programming stuff that we're going to do. So, like, our board of directors is going to run all the programming. Run all the programming.
So, Dave, I got to ask you, in addition to the fundraising work you're trying to do, in August, you went and met with the city's zoning committee.
Yeah.
Did they have any idea what was about to hit them? Like, here's our vision.
They had an idea.
Yeah, they knew. I mean, I got the impression.
They've known about
us. They were really cool. Like, I'll be honest, like, you know, I was really nervous going into it. And again, that might have been working for Bob for so long that he instilled he instilled in me a healthy disdain for bureaucrats. But like, but you know, like, that's not always, you know, that was sort of Bob. That's not necessarily me. The attitude that we got from the city of St. Louis was, how can we help you to do this?
That's terrific.
Yeah, it was a lot better response than what we thought. I mean, we've been hiding in the shadows for years, being like, don't look at us. And then now all of a sudden, like, hey, we kind of want to help you. We're like,
It was awesome. Like, we haven't done any local press until now. Like, this, like, we've been, I think, hit up by every, I mean, I'm between
we're
year
like
and
Atlas Obscura and stuff, but nobody in St. Louis knew about us.
Yeah, like, we did Vice News and HBO, but we didn't do, you know, like, we're like, I don't know, the code enforcement guys, they don't necessarily watch Vice News. They watch the 6 o'clock news, though. We're not doing that, though.
So
But now, you know, like, but like, we don't want to stay underground and kind of continue doing this. We want to be able to provide these services for everyone.
For anybody,
Because it's, I think it's, it, St. Louis needs this type of stuff. It needs, like, interesting, epic third spaces that kids want to go to that help, to, like, you know, enrich their lives, so you can figure out, you know, what you love and how to pursue it.
Something to do that's safe and not, you know, it's productive. You know.
So Joss Hay, who again is one of the owners of this at this point, he explained to our producer how the skate park helps kids and how it's going to continue to do that.
Everyone's going to have a slightly different experience, but some of the key takeaways are going to be not giving up when you fail, just a determination to get out there, be creative, and just to realize that it doesn't matter what race, shape, age, gender, sexual orientation, none of that matters when there's a piece of wood with four wheels beneath your feet. What matters is standing upright and not getting hurt and making sure that everyone else around you is safe. So there's a lot of takeaways where it just builds community and builds respect for people to really lift others up and just support them no matter who they are.
And that, again, is Joss Hay. Brian, have you seen that with kids you've worked with already through, you know, the existing programs?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the other nonprofit, KHVT, has been around for 11 years now. And, I mean, working in on the DIY stuff here in St. Louis has at least been 15 and 20 years for me. And, I mean, there's plenty of kids now that I know that were, like, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old when we first started building the bridge and stuff. And then now they're, like, welders and like union carpenters and like all these different trades they got just from being able to see us doing the things and helping us out with it and realizing, hey, they like that, you know.
So not just learning how to skateboard, but learning how to construct things.
Yep. All kinds of skills from it. There's like Dave said earlier, there's a huge community. It's not just and Josh said it can be anybody. I mean, whenever we first started KHVT, the reason why we started is because there's a lawyer, fancy lawyer, was like down there skateboarding, and that's what he did. And because of that, we were able to learn a bunch of things. I mean, I was able to start holding like board of directors meetings, and I was like 25 years old, not knowing what the hell is going on, like, you know, just dirty skater kid, and we're doing that, you know, and like just because of the ties you make from all the different people that are in there. So that being said, that community is also the same community that can pass on other things to the children that are, you know, below and see like, hey, this guy's a lawyer, but he still skateboards and he's cool with me. So that means that I could skateboard and still do other things, you know, and
be
stuff
a
like that.
One day.
Yeah. And just anything like that. Well, and then on top of that, like I said, just the volunteering alone that shows you, you know, stuff that you can do that you never might have known you could do, you know.
So the skating brings people together, and from there they can go in any number of directions.
And it feels good. It feels good to do work, like to have a goal and to work with a group of people to like
and
achieve
for the greater good, you know.
Achieve a goal, like to do like things that are difficult and rewarding, like, you know, and that, like, I think it in building the skate park and working on the building and like all the work that Brian's done at KHVT, like, I think a lot of people have to be, you know, like introduce that like, yo, it feels really good to work with a big group of people to build something that has a common benefit for everyone, and to do your part and then enjoy the fruits of your labor. Like, that's like deeply satisfying on like a DNA level.
Well, it's been great to hear about this work and everything you guys have planned. I think this is such an exciting project. Dave Bloom, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian Bedwell, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This episode was produced by Laura Hamden, with audio engineering by Aaron Dorr and production assistance from Jane Mather Glass. It was mixed and edited by Jane. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.